And we are live.
Okay. Now, we're making a top 10 list of top 10 video games in our opinions. So, not public opinions, just our opinions.
Not objectively, just subjectively.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, we took us a minute to come up with this because it's like, goddamn, that's all I gotta say.
Because for some reason, neither of us thought about this ahead of time.
Yeah, we were just like, what kind of subject can we talk about? And we thought about a couple of things, and then we settled down on this one. Because we actually talked about doing this before. Now, I'm going
to
let...
Do you want to start or you want me to start it off?
Alright, I'll let you start it off.
Alright, well, with my number 10 game would be Oddworld Abe's Odyssey. Because I love this series very fucking much, but at the same time, though, if I have to pick between any of them, it has to be the first one, because the gameplay is relatively the same throughout most of them, until you get to the third and fourth one, but the atmosphere, in my opinion, is the best atmosphere in any game ever. I know it's subjective, but I almost wish to say it was objective. Because, man, the atmosphere, for going for both a very funny but creepy style, works so well. And the difficulty, I will give it this much, I'll be fair and I'll say it is somewhat... A little too hard, some Kane. I don't want to say it's Dark Souls, but it is,
can be the difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do improve on that in the sequel, but beyond that, I think it's really, really good. That is basically my number 10.
Alrighty.
I'll let you do yours now.
Okay, do my number 10.
Sure.
Let's see here. Bombard your list thingamajig here. My number 10 is Fallout 4. Now, I haven't played much of Fallout 3. I actually just recently started on it. So far, it's good. Now, my reasoning is Fallout 4 doesn't have a strong main story, but it has enough things in the game to keep you occupied. And it's like Elder Scrolls Skyrim in a way of, like, side quests are really interesting. And that's the main reason I played it, was for the side quests. There's so much you can do in the game. The world's not gigantic, but at the same time, though, it's fucking huge. It's like, it takes place in Massachusetts and Boston, in that area. And I like the whole Revolutionary War vibe that whole place has got going on. Fallout 76 just absolutely shat on the series, but I have to admit Fallout 4, it has its flaws, but it's not like, it's not bad or anything like that.
It's not Fallout 76.
It's not Fallout 76. But yeah, it comes on my number 10 spot. There you go. All
right, man. My number 9 is Black Ops 3, because I'm a zombies guy when it comes to the Call of Duty series. I don't ever really freak with any other non-Treyarch zombies. I've tried every single one of them at least once. The only ones I seem to like is Treyarchs, because they know what they're doing. But for Black Ops 3, even though almost all of the maps are DLC, and you do have to pay for all of them, in my opinion, it's, if you're like me, and you're into the zombies specifically, it is way more than worth it. If you want more than zombies, you're looking in the wrong place. I will not lie about that, but as of the zombies in this game, I won't try and defend the timeline too much, because it's still technically being worked on currently, but from the little story that they were telling from Shadows of Evil through Revelations, I thought it was pretty good. I did not hate the ending, but I didn't think it was that bad either. It was very middle ground for me, but gameplay-wise, I think it is the best. because you can get a really good challenge if you wanted to, or you can be a complete
overpowered badass. Yeah.
And I'm really, really glad that the last bit of DLC they did for that game that was not free was remastering a bunch of classic maps, many of which I had actually never played before buying the DLC, but I had always heard they were good. Specifically Origins, Shangri-La, what's the one with the rockets again?
Moon and Ascension.
Ascension, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had played Moon before. This is also another thing. Black Ops 3 is the only Black Ops besides maybe one where I've actually been tempted to want to do the Easter eggs, and I've successfully done two of them.
Yeah.
So, personally, I think Black Ops 3, for a zombies guy specifically, is really good. For anything else, you're looking in the wrong place.
Oh, yeah, didn't you do three of them? Counting Origins? You've done Origins, Moon, and then Horizon Draw.
Yes, three, okay.
Yeah, three.
Oh, yeah. Which, honestly, if it wasn't... Honestly, Gobblegums, they are overpowered, but without them, that probably would not have been possible.
Yeah, that was my problem with the whole the YouTuber thing. When Black Ops 4 came out, it was just like, okay, gotta get rid of the Gobblegums, they're too overpowered. Now they're gone, now they're complaining about them being underpowered. And I'm like, could you not? You're confusing my brain.
I don't think they have a middle ground, do you?
I don't think they do. It's like, Perkaholics are fine, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because they are overpowered,
but they're rare as fuck.
Yeah, like the only people who are gonna ironically get them as much as they do are the same YouTubers who can just afford them like crazy.
Yeah.
Who can easily make the money back and try it all over again in one video.
Yeah. Now, my number 9 is something very similar to yours, and my number 9 is Call of Duty Black Ops 1. Now, Call of Duty Black Ops 1, for me, is not so much nostalgia. I really don't care for the zombies that much. I do enjoy Kino. I fucking loved Kino. 5 was mad to me, but I did play Call of the Dead, and that was fun. And I don't think I ever played Moon on BO1 until BO3. But I really enjoyed the campaign. The campaign is what gets me. I came for the campaign for this one. The campaign was just so good. And, like, it's brilliant. To me, it is. Because it's like, you know, this 1960s... You know, Russia's brainwashing these people into doing shit, and Mason gets brainwashed, and, you know, there's plot twists and, you know, all that, which I love. I love a good plot twist.
I love the fact that they, in a lack of better terms, had the balls to kill off the main character from World at War right in front of the main player.
Yeah.
That's really neat and something you rarely see ever. The story itself, I liked it a lot. Probably better than World at War, honestly, because World at War is basically just, here's World War II, and that's it.
Yeah.
Much more realistic version, I suppose.
Yeah.
But overall, as of like an original story, Black Ops 1 was so good.
Yeah.
Especially with that twist at the end of where...
Turned out that Reznov was dead, and that you were brainwashed into thinking he was still alive by Reznov himself.
I was going to say that, and I was also going to say the plot twist of, I don't know if you've seen it before or not, but there is a scene. So, you know the theory that JFK was assassinated by two
people? I love that.
Yes.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. Because at the end of the game, you see JFK walking out of his vehicle, like in real life footage. And there was a moment where the camera stops and zooms in it, and it shows...
Mason.
Yeah, Mason. That is awesome.
I actually forgot about that. That's actually fucking great. Black Ops 1 is great.
Oh, absolutely.
The story is great.
I will not debate you on that. That is absolute. Everything about Black Ops 1, in my opinion, is really good.
Yeah. very, it's a classic. I'd say it's a classic.
I would say so, absolutely.
Alright, well, what's your number 8?
My number 8 is Super Mario Odyssey, because, goddamn. This is one of those few games where I ride the hype train, and the hype does not fail. It delivers so much. It has a lot of retro Mario, but unlike Sonic, who is piggybacking off of his retro success and is living only off of that, Mario manages to still be really good at being original while also having throwbacks to classics as well. And Odyssey, for a 3D Mario game, and I won't lie, I had only beaten Mario 64 two times. Once on the DS, once on the original one, but on the original I had to use a glitch because I just got way too lazy.
Hey, man.
Yeah. No hate. I never did beat Sunshine. I got about halfway throughout it, but I liked what I played from it a lot. I just never really got around to finishing it. Mario Galaxy was a part of my childhood a lot. I played the shit out of it, and then I bought the second one on day of release and played the shit out of it as well. So for a new 3D Mario game to come out, and to be even better than all of those classics, just blows my mind still. And the fact that it's on the Switch, a console, I'm going to try and not wank off the Switch too much itself, but the fact that it's on a console that's on the go just helps it so much more. Because honestly, it is a really good game. And I'm trying to think of something non-generic to just say beyond, it's just a good game.
Yeah.
But, I would say as like a platformer, it is really, really good. The fact that they included Cappy, and the fact that he doesn't make the game easier, he just makes it where you have more ways of handling a situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is not absolutely necessary to beat the game. In certain areas he is, but for about 90% of the game, you technically don't have to use him. But it's really good knowing that you can, though. Oh, man. It is really just amazing overall. The amiibo doesn't really add too much, but what it does add is really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, it just lived up to the hype a lot. Like, there was a lot of hype behind it, and actually lived up to it, and that just shocks the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't played Odyssey yet, but I have played a little bit of it. But yeah. What I have played, I really liked, and thought it was fun.
Another thing I like about it is the fact that it's one of the few Mario games. Now, I'm not saying most Mario games aren't weird, but this feels like the most wacky one, and they were actually willing to step outside of their comfort zone for once.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm really glad they did that, because they delivered something way more creative than what I've seen from Mario within the past 5 or 6 years now.
Yeah.
Oof.
Okay.
So that right there is my number 8.
Okay, my number 8, I said, now, I want to put a disclaimer here. I'm not talking about EA or DICE. I'm talking about Pandemic's Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Alright.
And that was back in, like, what, 2004, 2005 when that came out, I think?
Somewhere around there.
It was somewhere in that range. I have so many memories of being on my PlayStation 2, and I remember when I first got that game, and what made me get that game was I had a friend down the road here who played it on his PS2, and it made me want to get it. And that's actually how I got introduced into Star Wars, believe it or not, is through the game. Because at the time, you know, I didn't really, you know what I mean? I wasn't a big gamer. And I was probably in, like, first, second grade. And, you know, I didn't play games as, like, I played game on the GameCube when I was in kindergarten, but not much of it. So I really fucking enjoyed the Battlefront game. It was just so fun, just setting, and like, it had like 20 some different maps that you could play on, possibly more, I don't know. It felt like 20 some.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there were so many different types of game modes and shit. They had heroes, and you would get to play as, like, all the heroes and the villains get to fight it out. And I'm like, oh my god, that is just so brilliant and so cool. Can't believe that, you know, that exists. And I'm pretty sure there is a story mode to it. It's been forever since I played it, and I'd love to get it sometime and play it again. But I remember just having a lot of fun going to Kamino and with the being a droid and shit, you know, having more with clones. Or I know there was one story mission to where you were the stormtroopers and you have to go and attack the clone troopers on Kamino. Yeah, and that was supposed to simulate like an actual battle that happened or whatever at the end of the war. And that was really good. I loved the shit out of Battlefront 2. How did you feel about Battlefront 2?
I will not lie, I didn't play too much of it because when I did play it, it was technically it still is my cousin's copy. He had bought it 2013. And he did not have anything to play it on besides my PS2, so he kind of just left it in my place, and it's been with me ever since. And I haven't played it too much, but from what I do remember, he loved the shit out of the game. And from what I played of it, I liked it a lot. I just never really, kind of like some other games, I just never really got around to actually finishing them. But I remember from what I did play, though, I actually really enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I would say that... There's probably a good reason why the fan base likes that a lot.
Oh my god, there's so much you can do. It's like, it's a classic. It's just really fun.
I think you can play as Darth Maul and General Grievous in it.
Yeah, you can play as Yoda, all of them basically. Oh, Jango Fett, Boba Fett.
So somewhat like...
And it had DLC.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it had DLC. You could play as like, Who was it? It was somebody...
Jango, Boba.
No, it had all of those. But then, I'll have to look it up later. But I actually didn't know it had DLC either. But apparently, you're not able to get the DLC on console anymore.
That sounds about right.
You can get an emulator or some shit, and you can get it with that emulator.
Maybe on Steam, something like that?
Yeah.
It's pretty neat, though.
Kit Fisto. That's who you're able to play as.
Oh.
Kit Fisto and somebody else, I'm pretty sure.
That's pretty wicked.
Yeah.
So it's like a Star Wars sandbox in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
really neat, though.
God, it makes me really want to play it. All right.
When was the last time you did play the game?
Oh, my Lord. Last time I had a PS2, and that was probably back in, like, fourth grade. Maybe farther than that. Probably third grade, fourth. It's been years, dude. My PS4, I got it at a flea market in West Virginia, and because we went over there, and it was cheap, and it was like, I think I spent like $100 for it at the time. That was basically a steal back then. And that was like one of the first games I got for it. I got that, Bionicle, something Heroes, and then there was like a Resident Evil game, I'm pretty sure, on it. I got that one, and then like there was a Need for Speed game. I was new to gaming at that time, so I didn't know what the fuck. Yeah, I was just like picking up a bunch of random shit and see what stuck.
Yeah.
So what is on
my number 7? Before I say this, I also need to put out a disclaimer. I am not saying this is the best one. By the fan base's vocal, I don't know if it's minority or majority in this case, but a vocal amount of people in the fan base seems to agree that this is either the worst or close to the worst one. That being said, I don't think anyone says it's bad, unless you're a really, really competitive player, in which case you have a lot of problem with it, but I grew up with this game a lot. This is the one I played the absolute most out of any in the franchise, and that would be Super Smash Bros. Brawl. I remember playing Melee. I liked it a lot. I'm not saying any of the other games are bad. I'm just saying, personally, I played this one the most, because to me, it had the most to offer, and it just was way more fun. It was just, that's a lot of things about most of the games on my list, is how not even just what all you had to do, or what you could do, more or less just that they were a lot of fun to play. And as of Brawl, Two of my favorite things was, one, they included both Snake and Sonic, so that was basically the point in time where they decided, okay, we're going to include more characters outside of just Nintendo, and now, thanks to games like Smash Brothers for Wii U and 3DS, they're including all kinds of other ones, but I like Brawl because it was the first one to do that, and also the fact that there was just so much to do in that game. The fighting alone, in my opinion, is really, really fucking fun. And it was one of the few, one of the, I assume three, now that Ultimate is out, I have not played it yet, but one of the three to technically have a campaign mode. And I won't lie, it could be better. It probably is better in Ultimate, but for Brawl, it was really good for what it was trying to be. And there was just so much you could do on there, so much to unlock, so many challenges, so many characters to play as. I did not really have any problem with any of the newcomers or anything like that. Unlike Melee, I never had glitches to where in order to unlock a character, you have to, like, in Melee, I don't know if you know this or not, but Melee, in order to unlock Mewtwo, you have to do one of two things. One is play the game for 20 hours, not straight, just a total. And the second one is something else, and I can't remember what, so we all tried playing for 20 hours. That did not work for some reason.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so Brawl never gave us any problems like that. Brawl did its job at being not broken too much. If we're going to talk about gameplay-wise, it somewhat is, but none of the Smash Brothers games aren't, so. Yeah, I really, really love just the amount of things you can do, the amount of trophies, the amount of stickers, the fact that you can make your own Smash maps to play on the game. This is the first game to include the Ultimate Smashes, which is basically kill everyone instantly and basically win the game. And it's just, it's really just exciting and really fun to always go back to, no matter what. No matter what mood you're in, this is always a good game to play. And that would probably be my number 7, I guess. Okay. I guess this is off to you now.
Alright.
Yeah.
Alrighty. My number 7 is... is it the wrong one? Yeah. My number 7 is Majora's Mask. Now, I have to admit, it is overrated as fuck. It is very overrated, along with Ocarina of Time. But the reason why I enjoy Majora's Mask so much is I love the darkness and the tone of the story. It feels more serious than all the other ones. And it's almost like Skyrim for me, where it's like, people say it's overrated, but it's like, until you play the game, you don't know what you're missing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I will agree with you that this one's legit overrated, unlike Skyrim. There is a lot of moments in it that, you know, you can see why people absolutely love this game. The whole, the masks and all that, how they have different abilities and shit like that, I think that was fucking cool. And I think there's like 20-some different masks you can use. And some of them change your appearance and shit and stuff like that. And I'm just a huge fan of Majora's Mask and the, you know,
yeah,
Skull Kid and the Happy Mask Salesman and shit. I just think that, yeah, very... I wish that they would return in another Zelda game down the line.
Yeah.
But they more than likely probably won't, which sucks ass. But, I mean, whatever. Yeah. So, that's about it, all I got for that one.
My sister had owned the copy to, on GameCube, I think this might be what you might have had at one point in time. On GameCube, they had a disc that allowed you to play the first two Zelda games, Ocarina of Time, and also, Majora's Mask. They allowed you to play those four games, and then they also had a demo for Wind Waker that was coming out. So that's what my sister played her versions of the game on. And I remember her playing Majora's Mask way more than Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
And I'm I always liked the vibe of the game. It never felt too dark, and it never felt too happy. It was like a really good balance they had there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had never played it myself, but from what I had seen, it was pretty good from the looks of it. I'm willing to give it a try one day, though, in all honesty, if I were to do that, probably the 3DS version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is your number 7?
We're on number 6 now.
Oh, okay, my bad.
It's all good. Number 6, okay. So, no real disclaimer here, and I have no shame in saying this, Doom 2016. I absolutely love Doom 2016. I loved it so much. I bought the PS4 version, then I bought the VR version, and then when the Switch came out, I got it for the Switch. And between the two versions, I would say, or technically three, I would say because Doom VR is technically a whole other game on its own, it's not much of one in all honesty, but you know, I won't really say too much about it other than I liked it for a VR game. Between the Switch and the PS4 version, I prefer the PS4 version, but to be able to take the campaign of Doom on the go and maybe even play multiplayer, that's still really good too. But the campaign, this is one of the things I absolutely love about it, is how the writers directly said, this is a game about killing demons in Mars. No one's going to give a shit about the campaign. How about we just make jokes about the fact that there is no real story to this campaign? Which is one of the best parts. It's not necessarily fourth wall breaking humor, but just self-awareness humor. It's how, as Doom Guy wakes up, and as he goes on and puts his armor on, Dr. Samuel Hayden tries to explain to him, yo, this is what happened. Not intentional, this is kind of just what happened, and he basically throws the monitor away, just like, I really don't give a shit. I'm here to kill demons. And one reason why I like it so much beyond that little thing is the gameplay, in my opinion, is so goddamn satisfying. It is so good. Just, the difficulty, depending on what you play on, can be really, really aids, but like, just playing through the campaign, it never really gets to a point. I will admit, there are certain moments in the campaign where I'm like, well, this is really fun, and then I know ahead of time, oh, wait, there's this really rapey moment that's about to come in here in a few minutes. Balls. But it doesn't ever make me stop the game or anything like that, because the fighting is just so much fun. The traversing and looking for extra little things is also not, it doesn't feel like a chore. It feels way more like, oh sweet, I found this on my own. This was worth it. This is actually a lot of fun to do.
Yeah.
The snap map, even though it, I don't know if I would say it's an improvement or a poor man's version of Forge. I really don't know, just because you can kind of make your whole maps themselves. Mainly the fact that you can include AI is really good. I played a little bit of it, not very much, but from what I did play, there's a lot of potential for really good ones. From what I did play, some of them were pretty funny and fun. Others feel like something I would have made.
Yeah.
But for a game, for a sequel to a series that has been dormant for about 13 years, I think, it is really, really good. A reboot of the series was necessary, and it was actually worth it for them to put it off as long as they did. And one of my absolute favorite things about this game is the soundtrack. Because, goddamn, that soundtrack is metal as hell.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Doom. I didn't, spoiler alert, I didn't put it on my list. I actually planned on putting it on the list, but I was like, I want to be a little bit different. You know what I mean? So I was like, I replaced that with Star Wars Battlefront 2. And for me, I mean, Doom is fucking great. I agree with you.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit. I actually kind of regret taking it off my list now. But you're right. The game is metal as fuck. And it's just, it's fun.
And that's why I just cannot wait for Doom Eternal, because it looks like it's going to be really good.
Holy shit. That's all I got to say. Alrighty.
On to your number six.
My number six is, get ready.
Okay.
Batman Arkham City. And okay. I'm going with that. Batman Arkham City. Okay. I'm a Batman fan, but I'm not like one of those that are just like, Batman could kick everybody's ass, because that's dumb. I think that the Arkham series is a really great series. If you don't like Batman, it's kind of impossible not to like this game because of all the shit-kicking you can do in it. It's just like, I compare it to something like Devil May Cry, in a sense, of you could just whip everybody's ass and have wholesome fun with it. It's just the characters, you get invested into the story and stuff like that. The villains are great. You got Mr. Freeze. You got Hugo Strange, the Joker, and all these crazy over the top characters and shit. My personal favorite villain out of all of them is the Mad Hatter. I fucking love. I don't know if you've ever seen the Mad Hatter.
Within the game.
Yeah.
Not really. I got a taste of it.
He made me want to see him in a movie. I want that character in a movie now, so bad. And it's just an Alice in Wonderland thing. You're like, okay, what's so good about that? The way they present the characters in this game, and it's like characters that are so obscure, like the Mad Hatter, like Victor Zsasz, and
what's the Pig Doctor.
Oh, Professor Pig. Yeah, like. Those characters are so obscure, it's like, who really gives a shit about them? And then when you see them in this game, it really makes you like them. Because it's like, it implies that Professor Pig's parents thought he was stupid, not perfect, and he wanted to make people perfect. So he went and butchered people and made them perfect. You know what I mean? And you got Mad Hatter, it implies that he killed his wife and like, it drove him crazy or some shit, or something on the lines of that. Then you got like Harley Quinn and the Joker, and then like before he dies, you see a pregnancy test laying on the ground. It has a plus on it, and you come back later on during a mission, and there's a bunch of pregnancy tests laying on the ground, and they all say negative on them, implying that she had a fucking miscarriage. It's really insane, and it's like just all that from a Batman game, and it really gets you into it. I'd say the worst one out of all of them easily is Origins, but even it still has really good, qualities to it.
For like an Arkham game, it's bad, but for like a game in general, it's good.
Yeah. Now, Arkham City, the reason why I would place it on top of all of them is because I think that it takes it to a new level, in a sense. And it's the thing is, ever since that game, they tried to recapture that with Origins. And they tried to recapture that with Arkham Knight. And what I mean by recapture is that there's a lot of similarities between the games. It's always some guy taking over a huge city. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I have no problem with that because they did it differently each time. It wasn't like with the same character every time. But Arkham City did it in a way that it's just so... It's so crazy how, just the story is just so progressive. It's very satisfying. The Joker dying in that game is fucking great. I think that's a great idea. It's a really ballsy move, too. Very, very, very ballsy. So, yeah, I could appreciate a ballsy move.
As someone who owns a copy of this game, but never, ever even... I started it. I did not get very far at all into it, but as someone who is... I had a cousin, and he's a big Batman fan, and he played the shit out of this game, and he got the game, 100%ed it, then when the, I assume, Ultimate Edition, where you could have all of the costumes and other missions and DLC and all that came out... When that came out, he bought it, like, a week after he got the original version, and he played in 100% of that within no time as well. So, I take it that this is a really fucking good game, And even though I have not played too much of it, from what I hear and from what I have seen on YouTube, from what little bit I have seen, it's really neat for them to bring in a really obscure characters and for them to humanize these characters in ways that make you go, wow, these are actually cool fucking villains. Why don't we see these more often?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Just number five.
My number five is Saints Row 4. This is... Part of this, I will not lie, part of this does play into some of the references the games throw at you. Some of the senses of humor and all that. And I will also say ahead of time, I don't know if there's a Saints Row 5 out or not. I also don't know.
No. They canceled the series.
Oh, well, shit.
That's what I've heard, yeah. They won't be making another one.
Oh, shit. There goes a tear to my eye. But anyways.
That's what I've heard anyways. I don't know if that's a fact.
But okay.
Yeah.
Well, then.
Disclaimer.
But I never did play the first, second, or third one. But, I did play the fourth one, and it was a really, really fucking fun game. The only downside to it, in my opinion, is the... It feels like a collect-a-thon a little bit, done kind of wrong. The non-collect-a-thon parts is really good, but the parts where you have to go around the city and collect the blue spheres that will help you advance your stuff... That's not too bad, but there's just so goddamn many of them on such a huge map. It feels like an eternity, but it kind of, I mean, it's somewhat worth it, but at the same time, though, it's really hard for me to say it is. Beyond that, the humor is great. The gameplay is really, really fun. The fact, the story was really good, Mike. It's not no Sherlock Holmes or anything like that, but it is really fucking good for, like, the story that it had. There's just a lot of great things about this. The characters you actually give a shit about. Characters I thought I'd fucking hate at first came around. And I'm not gonna lie, there's a lot of brownie points this game gets for me. Like, playing... I can't think of the name of the song, but it's the song they play at the beginning of the Transformers film. They play that at the end of the game, and it fits so damn well. And then also the fact that they have references, stupidly blatant references to one of my favorite movies, They Live, in the game. The fact that you can play with Rowdy Roddy Piper is fucking amazing. Yeah. Ooh, rip. But
I hate to interrupt you, but okay. I think we only have an hour to do this, and we're at 37 minutes, just so you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Just so you know, not to rush anything, but, like, I think it only gives you a limit of an hour of recording.
That's fine.
Yeah. And I might be totally wrong, but yee.
Okay. I've been trying my best to stretch this out as long as possible anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, Saints Row 4.
Saints Row 4.
Really, really fucking good game, in my opinion. Really funny. Gameplay's fun, except for collect-a-thon part. But once that's over with, it's all easy from there on out. Customization and references, damn good all the way around, in my opinion. That's about it.
Yeah. All right, let's see here. This is number 4, right?
I think so, yeah.
No, number 5. I haven't done my number 5 yet.
Okay,
my number 5 is Halo 2. Now, Halo 2, for me, is a nostalgia boner from hell. It has everything you want in a game, and that is that it's got a good story to it, good campaign to it, good gameplay. The graphics are very good, in my opinion, for its time. They're not terrible, but they're not, like, you know what I mean? They're 2005 graphics. Now, I really enjoyed playing the hell out of that game. When they remastered it into the Master Chief Collection, the cutscenes are amazing, but from the gameplay I've seen, they look good. It's just that it's not up to par with the way the cutscenes look.
Yeah,
the cutscenes look way better than the actual gameplay. But that, and plus, you know, Halo is basically a dead franchise, and it's sad to see, you know, the state that it's in right now. And hopefully it gets revived with Halo Infinite. If it doesn't, then I guess it's ruined. Yeah, I think this will officially be the end of it. If it's not, if Infinite's not good, then it's just the end of Halo. Yeah, that's sadly. It's sad, but that's basically my opinion on Halo 2.
I can remember me and my brother trying to do I do not remember the name of the Easter egg, but there is an Easter egg where you have to play the game on Legendary, and you have to fly a ship to a very specific part to see a bunch of grunts dancing, if I can recall correctly.
Yeah.
We tried that for hours, and it never worked. And then my cousin, I'm not going to say his last name, but Cody, he had shown up. And within 2 hours, he managed to do it very easily. And it was just all... That really is one of the best Halos, in my opinion. It's just a lot of fun. And, Lord, it really is good. I like the campaign a lot for that game. The fact that you can go from Arbiter to Master Chief is just one of the best parts of my opinion.
Oh, God, yeah. That's really cool, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Gameplay-wise, I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
That's all I can really say on that, beyond I liked it.
Alrighty. What's your number four?
My number four would be Spider-Man for the PS4 2018. The gameplay-wise, I personally find this to be the best. From all the Spider-Man games I have played, this is my personal favorite. I think it works a lot. It's very similar to the Arkham games in Shadow of War, Mordor. It plays very similarly, and I think it's better for that because it is really good. Gameplay-wise, it's really fucking good, and for a Spider-Man game, it's damn good. The story, I will not go into much spoiler territory because you have not played the game and not have seen much, but I'm not going to say much on about the story other than, man, it is so... They do a really good job at basically... They make a story that, in all honesty, I would say is up there with the Sam Raimi films stories, in all honesty. And they really make you feel for some of the villains, in all honesty. Instead of just, we are the villains because you need a villain. I won't lie, that is how the Sinister Six is in the game. But as of Doc Ock and Mr. Negative, you actually feel for them. But at the same time, though, you feel way more for Peter in the game and the situation he's going with, relationships with people, his character interactions, and almost like a big brother or father figure to Miles Morales is really great. Only downsides to the game I have is almost every part where you don't play as Peter. If you're playing as Mary Jane or Miles Morales, the only thing you can do is stealth missions as them. And they, in my opinion, are not that good. They're not god-awful, but they could be a lot better or more interesting, or they could just have the characters do something else other than stealth. That's just me personally. That's what I would prefer, but as of everything else, story-wise, damn, it tugs at your, like, heartstrings very fucking much. Gameplay-wise, damn good. A lot of stuff to do, and the DLC, in my opinion, is... actually really good. I'm not going to say it's up there. I'm not going to say it's up there with the game itself, but for DLC, for a game like this, it's pretty good. And one of the best parts of all is the variety of suits you can have in this game. Now, I have not played every Spider-Man game, and I have not unlocked all the suits in every version I have played, but this is the only version where I'm actually willing to do that. That should probably say something about how good this is.
All right. Let's see. My number four is Red Dead Redemption. Okay, the first Red Dead Redemption. Now, Red Dead Redemption was astonishing to me because it's just so crazy how, like, such a genre like the Wild West can change your opinion on that genre. And there is so much storytelling going on in Red Dead Redemption. And... for at its time, it was really great. There is glitches in the game. Nothing game-breaking that I've ever had to deal with. But I didn't have it 100% in the game. But had a lot of shit you could do in it, a lot of side quests, you know, stuff like that, Easter eggs galore. It was really good. It didn't have too many, like, crazy main Easter eggs, but yeah, it had some. Now, Red Dead Online, from what I remember, was pretty good at the time. I remember actually being really fun and playing with a bunch of people and having big shootouts and shit. That was actually really fun. But it makes you feel for the main character, John, and all the problems it has. It's got a really sad ending, spoiler alert. But you get to basically hunt down all your old gang members and shit and kill them. And yeah, it's really wholesome and fucking great. There we go.
Okay. So I don't want to come off as a douche or nothing, but my eyes have scrolled unintentionally down at your list, and I saw what your number two is, and I figured I'd go ahead and say it now because it's also my number two. We both share apparently the same opinion on this, that Skyrim is our second favorite game of all time. So I guess we can just go back and forth on this, yeah. Oh, Lord, it is so... This is one of the situations where I will be way more than willing to admit I was fucking wrong with a smile on my face. Because I, like Tristan said earlier, I assume you don't mind me saying... Okay.
Yeah. It's all good.
Yeah. But like he had said earlier, like with Skyrim, a lot of people said it's overrated, and then they tried it, and then they fucking ate their own words, basically. I am definitely, absolutely, guaranteed 100% one of those people, because I thought it was overrated as hell. I played it, I loved the shit out of it, and I'm still playing it to this very day. That being said, I did not try it until just a year ago, but that again being said, man... It is so good, because there's just so much you can do in it, so many different ways. If you want to, like, roleplay, create your own character, all that good stuff, you can absolutely do that. If you just want to do whatever you want, that's also possible. I don't think the game ever really punishes you for picking a very specific option, ever. Not to my knowledge, it never really does. Unless you want to get very specific, in which case, being a vampire is kind of ass, but...
Yeah. Yeah. The game, for me, is really great. DLCs are amazing. I think it has one of the best DLC seasons ever.
I'm going to agree with you. I would say, in fact, it is. It does, in fact, have it. Because the DLCs are basically whole games in it of themselves.
Yeah. Which and is it's, something. There's only three DLCs. One of them is a very small DLC, which is like Hearthfire. Yeah. And then it's got two major story ones. And in my opinion, I think that's how Bethesda should, you know, sculpt the Fallout series after, is just have three DLCs. And I'm perfectly fine with that. If they have DLCs on the level of fucking Dawnguard, and then Dragonborn, if they have DLCs on the lines of that with Fallout later on, oh boy. They didn't do that with Fallout 4, which is the problem it had. It had, like, two story ones, a very minor one with the Automatron, and then, like, these ones, little miscellaneous ones that just add shit. That's basically it. So, yeah. That's
I would say the story for Skyrim is so fucking good. Oh, yeah. Not only just the main story, but so many side quests that have their own huge stories of their own. Kind of like the DLCs. I enjoyed the shit out of Dawnguard and Dragonborn DLC. Those two were so goddamn good. It shocks the shit out of me that they were just DLC and almost not their own standalone game.
Yeah.
Because they were just so good, though, really. Oh. And the fact that, like, you can spend, like me, 100-plus hours on a game like this and still not be tired of it really says something about its greatness and why the fuck you, and why you should play it. This is one of those games where I absolutely stand by, don't knock it till you try it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, we didn't do our number threes, did we?
No, we did not. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, we skipped our number three.
Alright, well, sorry about that.
Alright, it's all good. We agreed on the Skyrim one, so we skipped that one. Okay, that was our number two spot, the Skyrim one. Me and Tyler have both had number two with Skyrim.
as of number three, for me personally, this is a game that is drastically different than Skyrim, but also very similar in a way. It's kind of strange to explain unless you've played the games yourself. For me, it is Borderlands 2. Good lord, this was such a good game. It was funny as hell. You really feel for a lot of the characters. For a game that's long as shit, but you don't, but your main character doesn't say nothing. It's really fucking good. The gameplay, I won't lie, the gameplay is nothing too special. It really is kind of just first-person shooter, but you get to also ride around dune buggies, basically. Story-wise, it is really, really good. I would say Spider-Man probably did have a better story. But at the same time, though, I feel like the gameplay and the characters, all the little side missions and referencing, it's almost like a better version of Saints Row 4, in a way. Like, even though they're drastically different, almost everything Saints Row 4 gets right, Borderlands 2 gets right twice as good, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That's,
I've never played Borderlands, but I've heard it's good from people, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, my number three is Halo Combat Evolved. This game is the pinnacle. It's like, even though there's one above it, or two above it, in my opinion, this is the pinnacle of first-person shooter games, especially. And I love Halo 2 to death, but I think Halo 1 just barely gets above it, in my opinion. The story is fucking phenomenal. The gameplay is a little wonky, but it's whatever. I love how they introduce the Flood in it. They make the Flood feel like a really big threat in the first game and the second game. And that's, in my opinion, what ruined the series is taking the Flood out and replacing them with the Prometheans, which were fucking knockoffs, basically. They were awful. The Flood really made the game for me, even though they're just basically zombies. They, you know, I don't know what it was about them. They were just so captivating for me.
Yeah.
And they made me absolutely love the first Halo, and then having to, like, blow up the entire ring and shit. And it's just very fucking fun. And plus, it had multiplayer, and the multiplayer was also very fucking fun. Yeah, it's just... if you haven't played Halo 1, I recommend getting the remastered one on the Xbox 360, or you can get it on the Xbox One too, because of the Master Chief Collection. But it is very fun. If you don't have fun with it, then boy, are you crazy. That's all I gotta say. Are you crazy? Alright.
So this is our number ones. I'm gonna go ahead and say it right now. Our number ones are drastically different, and, I can absolutely see why he picked what he picked for number one. A lot of you will probably be thinking, wow, your number one is fucking retarded compared to the other one you've had on the list.
But oh, boy.
I will explain why this is my number one. Remember, this is supposed to be a subjective, not objective list.
Yeah.
So, yes.
I don't kink shame.
Unless I kink shame, in which case. But for number one, my number one game of all time, currently, is Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenkaichi 3. I know a lot of people prefer Budokai 3, I don't blame them. I know a lot of people will probably say Fighters is way fucking better, and I don't blame them. I personally think this is the best one when it comes to both a sandbox of Dragon Ball and being fun. In my opinion, it is far more fun to play than any of the other ones, and I won't lie, it somewhat is part of the simplicity of the gameplay. The gameplay isn't super up there, but at the same time, though, I feel like, in all honesty, compared to the Budokai games, in my opinion, it really is better than the rest of the series, and it just shits on the first two Budokai Tenkaichi games.
When did it come out?
It came out, I'm thinking, around 2007. I know for the Wii it absolutely did, because that was the only version I played. Well, no, I did play the PS2 version at one point in time, but I had not, I had not played it very much.
Yeah.
I had played it on one of my friends' PS2, and it was neat, but I had always grew up with the Wii version, and for the fact that it has over 150 characters is just one of the most badass things about it.
Okay, we have 5 minutes left.
All right, well, I'll try and wrap this up as quickly as possible. Basically, for a Dragon Ball game, it's fun as fuck. It has it goes from Dragon Ball all the way through GT. It was made before Super, so no one could really say anything about that. Gameplay's fun as fuck. I like the story because it's Dragon Ball. I'm a big ass Dragon Ball nerd. I orgasm over this game every night. Year ago.
Okay. Now my number one spot is Red Dead Redemption 2. They will never, in my opinion, they will never be a game as good as it unless Red Dead 3 comes out. And this game absolutely blew my socks off because I knew it was going to be good, but I didn't think it was going to be as good as the first one. And they went from 0 to a fucking 100, like, real fast with this one. When you compare this one to Red Dead 1, there is such a big difference. You could do anything, basically, you want. It is like if Skyrim and Red Dead 1 had a love child, it would be Red Dead 2. The story's great. The characters are fucking phenomenal. And, like, I think that, like, this is possibly the best character work in video gaming history, I would say. Because, like, they take Bill Williamson, Javier Azuela, those characters that you kind of just don't give a shit about and you have to just go and kill them in the first one. They bring those into Red Dead 2 and they make you love those characters. It's insane. The story is fucking phenomenal. Arthur Morgan, the main character you play as, absolutely just... When I first saw him, I thought he was going to be a douchebag, which he is a douchebag in the game, but like, it's so crazy how it's like, he's like a Logan figure, like Wolverine in the Logan movie. How it's just like, he just does what he has to do to get by, you know what I mean? And Dutch and Micah and all these crazy characters, Dutch is fucking great. John is great. Online is okay. It's not fucking, you know, anything crazy. Yeah, it's being worked on right now. There are so many Easter eggs in the game. UFOs, fucking undead, Bigfoot skeletons, crazy shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Serial killers. And it's just insane how, like, much Rockstar has stepped up to the game. It's more of an RPG type game. Like, it's like Breath of the Wild in a way. Very much like Breath of the Wild. It's, you know, they've done so much with this game. There's over, last time I checked, 400,000 different animations just in the game, which is insane that there's that many. And it's like, wonder if there, you know, there has to be stuff that I haven't seen yet about this game. And that's one thing that I love about this game is because in the first month of it as it came out, I didn't know shit about it. And I, like, it was just, I'd constantly find shit out every day that you could do in the game. And I'm still finding out shit today. You know, it's just, the game's great. That's all I could say about it. Give the game a try and you'll fucking fall in love with it. It's, the Western setting is just, is very nice. Really hits on it.
And that was our top 10 favorite games of all time list.
With a minute to spare.
Okay, let us know what you think about this. Let us know your favorite top 10. And yep. Let us know if we should continue doing things similar to this.
Yeah, we plan on doing a top 10 least favorite game list.
Yes.
And this will probably be the first time in history that it'll make both, that one of my games will make both lists.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there you go. Now, I don't know when we'll do the next one. It'll probably be sometime in the 22nd century, but we'll do it. So,